Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's
go. All right, once again, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for joining the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates industry professionals all around the world. You are bold, brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you collaborate, you solve problems, and you are making the world a better place. That's why we celebrate you. We are broadcasting on-site OMG Q1 meeting, and it is a collection of incredible professionals all focused on solving today's challenges and making the world a better place. Check out OMG.org. Go out to OMG.org, find out more, get engaged, be a part of this ever-expanding ecosystem of incredible professionals. He's a legend. He's been on the podcast before. He never disappoints. Bill Hoffman's in the house. Let's get cracking.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, man. He's excited. I said, man, Bill's on my calendar. My life is small, Bill. Get excited about
hey,
you.
Hey, Scott, we always appreciate you coming here. You know, you energize our members, they enjoy the opportunity to work with you.
It's an honor. It really is. And to your point, when we were talking offline, I always learn something new. Every conversation, and I've done over 20. Just FYI, and every time, just something new, something has changed in this rapidly just evolving world that we live in.
Well, you know, that leads us into our topic of 35 years of OMG.
Talk to us about that.
So,
I mean, you've seen change.
Oh, have I seen change? I joined OMG within the first 3 months after it was formed. I was employee number four.
Right? No way, really?
Yeah. Yep, yep. And there was no resumes because I had known everybody in advance. So we'd worked together at different companies, and they called me up, and they had a trade show that they were running with the International Data Group, with IDG, the people that were doing Macworld and ComNet and those shows back then. And they wanted to launch a conference with them, but unfortunately they had nobody there that knew how to launch a trade show. And neither had I, but I'd been on the other side of it as a vendor for many years, and I understood the dynamics. So I came in originally as president of Object World Corporation, which was a partnership between the two. And we built Object World up to 7 events in 5 countries, over 25,000 people a year.
No kidding.
Yeah, then we sold it off to SoftBank. And That's we got out of that. Well, what happened was, this is interesting, but we got larger than the not-for-profit parent.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
oh.
And the accountants and the lawyers said, this isn't a good position for you to be in. You need to get rid of this trade show business, or you're going to potentially lose your not-for-profit status. And we're organized as a trade association, and the reason for that is that nobody can buy us.
Okay.
For example, no vendor could come in and swoop us up and then co-op our work. Right, we are a trade association, and the best you can do is be a member, but there's no way to buy the organization. And that's important when you're building standards, because imagine if you predicated your future product plans based on our standards and your biggest competitor bought the standards.
See, every time I have this conversation about standards, outside of the fact that there's not a greater appreciation for standards, we just sort of take it for granted, which is just an interesting for you and the rest of OMG to be in, where you, if you go through life and nobody really knows that you're doing something, that's a success.
Right.
Which is bizarre.
Well, Scott, the funny thing is that we didn't start off doing standards.
No kidding.
No, there was 12 companies, and Hewlett-Packard had a graphic user interface called New Wave at the time. And we were trying to figure out how to use it, so we actually thought it was a user group to work on New Wave type issues, how to implement this type of GUI. And then we found out that there were bigger issues coming along, and that was the advent of the object-oriented languages. That's when they first started to really regain prominence. Now, I say regain prominence, but frankly, you know, we've been working with object-oriented languages since the 50s.
Yeah.
And I'm probably one of the only people you'll ever meet that was involved with four different Lisp companies. Lisp, of course, was the programming language of choice for artificial intelligence back in the mid to late 80s.
No way.
So,
You old sage.
Yep, so we've been around the block, and that's why it's really interesting to see what's going on today with generative AI. and how people are just so enthralled on it. And, you know, we could all see this coming, but we never had the compute power.
Yeah. And it's like a switch.
Well,
like something happened.
Well, it's the compute power for a lot of it, Scott. You know, early days of Symbolics, you know, we had, you know, rooms full of DEC VAX machines. Those were mainframes.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing speech processing on. Right. Huh. Now you could do that. You have more power in your cell phone than that whole room of VAXes.
Isn't that something?
So that's what's fueled a lot of this, is the ability to have inexpensive computing power, but also inexpensive disk for storage. Right.
Yeah. See, because, the memory. Storage.
You know, back in the old days, you know, if you had a 10 megabyte hard disk, that was something else.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And that was probably $15,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And it had no great reliability either. I can tell you that firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the dynamics that kind of set the stage for, you know, for the stuff that start taking off. But yeah, we started as a user group, and then we figured out pretty quickly that. It's going to be issues here if we start bringing object-oriented databases and programming languages out. I mean, how are we going to manage this? What's going to be the standards? I mean, how we did not want to end up like the database business, right? Because the database business started off with networking databases and ended up being primarily relational.
Yep.
It took how many years before there was an SQL standard? It took like 20-something odd years.
Ridiculous amount.
Yeah, and that was an IBM standard.
Yeah.
That came from IBM.
Yeah.
So we were looking at it differently, saying, this is the time to set the standards.
Yeah.
This is the time if we're going to use object-oriented programming languages. Now is the time where, well, it's still easy to do. We don't want to try to have to move a mountain like the database guys had to do. Right?
Interesting.
So that was the original stuff. And the first major piece of work we did was CORBA. Which is the common object request broker, and that basically allowed programmers to just write to the interface, and the other programmer would write to the interface, and we did the middleware work, so they didn't have to deal with that level of complexity. And at the time, that was revolutionary, right? Because you needed a way to have the disparate systems actually be able to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, at least at above a physical level. You know, you can plug the cable in, but nothing's going to happen.
Right, exactly.
So you have to figure out the stack. And we provided that layer of connectivity. And interoperability is still a major part of what OMG, the SDO, Standards Development Organization, works on. And frankly, if you interview people who are building large systems, the two things that always come up are security and interoperability.
Yeah.
Those are the two areas that people tend to have the biggest concerns about. Security, obviously.
That's just becoming more and more of a topic. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It really is. And then we could talk about that for an hour, but we won't do that today.
Let me ask you this: the OMG. This was always fascinates me. It's the structure of OMG, and the ability to be able to create these standards, and to manage these standards, and to update these standards, and to keep them relevant.
Right.
Over and over and over again.
Right.
And so I know from a trustworthy perspective, I can say, yep, that's the standard. I know it's going to be around for a long time. I can definitely deploy it or reference it.
Right. We future-proof our standards.
That's it. Yeah.
Yep. That's what we do. We future-proof our standards. The other thing we do is that we provide IPR protection, antitrust protection for our members. Right, because we allow competitors, due to our IPR policy, to sit next to each other and openly discuss common problems without fear of an antitrust issue. The other thing is, I like to tell people, I say, you may have one of the best security people in the world, but we got them all.
See, but that's true. Because, you know, you can't help but know that there's a bunch of competitors here.
Right.
And they're big competitors.
Right.
They're not little.
Right.
They're not like mom and pop competitors. They're big competitors, and they're very collegial in the way they approach these conversations,
right.
But very professional too.
Right.
And they know. That to me is just an amazing.
That's the power.
That
right?
is.
That's the power. The ability to have, like you say, to have these guys who compete tooth and nail in the market. Can have developers sit next to each other and discuss common ways that we can solve common problems together more efficiently, and you compete behind the standards. That's where you compete. You're not going to compete at the standard. You're going to compete behind it. So, and we give them the IPR protection. And like companies like IBM, that's huge. They would never be involved here if they thought there was antitrust issues.
And rightly so.
Yeah, rightly so.
Like anybody. I mean, but the work product that comes out of this organization is top notch.
It is.
Because of that.
Absolutely. And our process now, we've used that that standards process. We thought about patenting it. We probably should have put a patent out on it, but I don't know how many people care about it.
Well, I don't know.
How many people are building standards? Most people don't want to see standards built. They say it's like sausage. Right?
Things you don't want to necessarily
have to see made, but you want to know what the finished product looks like.
It does. Right. It does. Right. Help me understand. See, this is it's sort of a altruistic type of approach to developing these standards, and the teams that are doing it are passionate. They want to get it right. There's no compromise. There's no pencil whipping in any of these standards. And so when you get one of these standards, whatever it might be, you know that it's been thoroughly vetted. It's just an interesting business model. And then I could go out to omg.org, and there it is.
You can download it.
Yeah.
You can absolutely, everything, when we finish it, it's downloadable. We also have an arrangement with ISO, the International Standards Organization, where we have what's called the publicly available specification process, and we're able to fast track our specs through ISO. ISO has actually taken, I think, 16 of our specs. They take them verbatim. They change the cover sheet. And they charge you $325.
Yes,
you can download it off our website for free, the same spec. But the how we get the future proofing, Scott, and why these standards stick around is that the minute we okay a new standard, which is done by the board of directors, we start immediately a revision task force. All right? Why? Three basic reasons. First, we probably didn't get everything in the release. Right? Some things probably just didn't make it due to time. Secondly, there may be stuff that's broken. And three, the requirements may have changed.
Yeah.
So all those three are good reasons, and what that does, that's the future proof, right? As long as you know there's a revision task force, and as a submitter, you can continue to monitor and impact and influence where these specs go, that's why people stick with us.
So with the, it's changing. You know, you've seen it, 35 years, changed a lot.
Yeah.
There's going to be every bit is change that's taking place right now. You've got that generative AI, you've got the digital twin, you've got all of these really innovative solutions that are out there that are, they're going to be done. How does OMG begin to sort of respond to the realities of the market today and in the future?
Scott, things will never get completely finished. Right.
Yeah.
It just keeps evolving. Right. I used to have a friend that was in quality support, and he said the last bug isn't fixed until the last customer is dead. Okay. this stuff has to evolve. It's going to continue to evolve. Companies and organizations have to continue to invest. They can't afford not to invest in these types of new technologies, and that's why they work with us.
Yeah.
You know, it's pre-competitive R&D for a lot of these folks. Like I just said, you may have one of the best security people. We got them all.
Yeah.
You sit in a room with 12 of the other world-class security people. Guess what? You're getting leveraged dollars for your R&D.
I just think it's a no-brainer. If I was in the business, and I think it would be incumbent upon me to be engaged with OMG just because of that. Just the ability to collaborate with leaders.
Absolutely. And then especially if it's in like the advanced areas like you were talking about, like digital twin.
Yeah.
I mean, we started that actually in the middle of COVID.
Because it's that recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be 4 years in May.
Yeah. Yeah.
We started right in the middle of COVID, which probably wasn't the best timing.
Yeah,
but the opportunity was there. And that's been an amazing journey. That market is still very early.
It is.
Yeah, we were early to it, and it's still very early. I was the one that set up the Industrial Internet Consortia.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally wrote all the governance documents.
Oh, there you are. You're the legend.
And I was the president up until we just folded it into DTC, so the whole time.
That's right. That change has happened.
Yep,
that's right.
Yep. 10 years. IIC would be 10 years old next week.
No
kidding.
So
it had a 10-year...
You couldn't wait?
Tried, Scott.
Yeah.
The problem we had with the IIC at the end was that we'd solved a lot of the problems that we set out to solve.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in 10 years we did a ton of good work, and we solved a lot of the issues. We built the ecosystem, it was time to move it into digital twin because, to your point, a lot of this stuff overlaps.
It's overlapping everywhere.
Right, and we have augmented reality.
Yes.
You know, we brought in the augmented reality group back in 2021.
Yes.
Because basically it was a perfect complement to what we were doing. We also just brought in on the standards development side the Enterprise Knowledge Graph Foundation.
Yes.
Right now, people say, you know, why? Why is that so important? Well, you probably may not understand where knowledge graphs fit in the world of AI.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with large language models, multiple large language models, knowledge graphs are a very key component to understanding how this stuff all works together. So that's another advanced area where, you know, once again, came to us and they said, hey, you know, we got issues we want to solve. So they have a standard they're working on. And we'll probably have that submitted over the next 6 months. The standard will come out of that.
See, what's interesting to your point about the overlap, how there's a convergence that I see happening, and eventually you'll see how the technology. And I think I had this conversation with somebody, and I just said, don't you just come here and you say that's applicable, that's applicable, that's a possibility. I see how that can work, and be able to sort of pull it all together with a real comprehensive solution.
Yep.
And it's all being done here.
Yep. Yep. By a handful of people.
By a handful of people
that are going to have a worldwide effect.
That's something else.
I mean, you know, we talked about CORBA being our first standard, but how ubiquitous is CORBA? It's in every cell phone.
I know.
Worldwide, by the way.
I know.
We got more copies of CORBA than McDonald's sold cheeseburgers.
No kidding, really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you ever think that?
No. Good Lord, no. The reason why my partner in crime, Richard Soli, recently passed away, but the reason why Richard and I stayed here for so many years wasn't about the money. It was about the jazz. It was about the ability to change the way people use technologies.
Yeah.
It's having an influence on societal issues. It's making a difference.
That's really cool.
And that's what kept us. I mean, we had, over the years, we both had multiple huge job offers because people either wanted us for our expertise or they wanted to cut the head off the snake at OMG. Right? But we both were completely committed because we liked it for the jazz of what we were able to do.
You
get a ragtag group of people. I mean, we have maybe 30 people, in our organization, and we've affected change.
Yeah. Significant change.
Serious affected. Yeah. Serious change.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our standards are running all over the place. There's space shuttle.
Yeah.
Hospitals,
yeah.
Central office phone systems all over the world rely on our stuff. It's truly amazing where it's ended up. And we just kind of sit back and go, holy cow, 35 years.
Well, where do you see it going? I mean, just sort of.
There's always a new one, Scott.
There it is.
There's always new stuff. Right now for us, it's integrating. It's trying to take advantage of the augmented reality group, working with the digital twin folks, dealing with the software standards development folks, because it turns out the SysML, our systems modeling language, it has an integral part in some of the DTC stuff. And augmented reality, of course, is tied into digital twin, and all this kind of fits into the industrial metaverse. So we got all the pieces.
Yeah.
And now our goal is to integrate these pieces fully.
Here's the deal.
And go.
Here's the deal. I'm Scott McKenzie. I have access to the World Wide Web, and I'm looking around, and I see all of this great innovation. There is no way that Scott McKenzie, manufacturer of this widget, can even begin to comprehend how all of this stuff is converging and how it will impact me. I know that it's important because I read it, but I don't even know where to go or what to do.
Right.
What's that step?
Right.
It's almost, I'm stuck.
Right.
I can't
right.
make a decision, but I know it's happening, and I want to be a business that's resilient.
Well, you don't want to get left behind either.
You don't.
I mean, your competitors will eat your lunch.
Eat.
I mean, we're talking about ways that are massive efficiencies here. You know, you can't afford to miss that boat.
That's exactly correct.
You'll be the guy holding the door.
Jeez. But speaking of a side note, DigiLens. I spoke to Chris. I put on his glasses.
Oh.
Augmented. Did you do that?
I've worn those types of glasses before.
It's stupid. It's just stupid fascinating. I'm just enamored.
Did they talk about some of the applications for this stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is, and some of them, some of them don't sound like they're all that great. But when you think about it, inspection is one of my favorites.
Inspection,
right? When you got to have that second individual to sign off on a weld or an operation, instead of having to bring them down the con tower of the submarine, right? They just put the glasses on and they get signed off
there
right then and there.
Is.
done. You know, I mean, talk about efficiencies. And that guy could be 3,000 miles away.
Yes.
Right. And so that's an easy one, right?
And the ability to have that mad tech.
Yeah.
In the glass, it's all there.
Hey.
It's amazing.
How about doctors?
Yes.
How about operations?
Yes.
How about having a specialist that's in another country?
Yes.
Looking over your doctor's shoulder to make sure that he's doing the right procedures. You know, it's all happening, Scott.
Jeez, baby. All right. How do people get involved in OMG?
Go to the website. Check us out.
OMG.org.
OMG.org.
You're out on LinkedIn, too.
We're on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to chirpy chirp out there, too. It's all there.
We're hard to miss. Hey, Scott. It's been fun.
Awesome. You're just so awesome. All right, listeners, we're going to have all the contact information for OMG out on Industrial Talk. Again, we are broadcasting from their quarterly meeting, Q1, here in Reston, Virginia. Excellent. You can see how it's too exciting. You've got to be engaged. You've got to be a part of this whole organization, or it's going to leave you behind. You don't want that. We want you to succeed. Be a part of OMG. Go out to OMG.org. All right, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Yep, that's Bill Hoffman. Never, ever disappoints. You need to be, I'm pointing at you in the camera. You need to be a part of OMG. Object Management Group. Go out to OMG.org. OMG.org. Be a part of that community. Developing trustworthy standards. Helping the market and market participants succeed. That's what they're about. You need to be a part of it. Excellent organization. Every time I go, every time I have the opportunity to talk to many of the members, I always learn something. They have their finger on the pulse of what's taking place. All right. Industrial Talk is here for you. You industrial professionals, be a part of this growing community. We want to make sure that you get the information. We always talk about education, collaboration, and innovation. Of course, OMG does all of that. Educate, collaborate. They definitely innovate. Be a part of Industrial Talk. Reach out to Bill. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Hang out with Bill. Change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly.